RNZ Pacific News, Atamarie tēnā koutou katoa, ko Susana Lei Ātaua tēnei. American Samoa's Emergency Operations Centre has been activated after reports of the ground shaking from residents on Ofu and Fititua in the Manua Islands. The residents say the shaking was coming from the Vailulu'u underwater volcano located between Tau and Ross Atoll from 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, with the last reports of shaking at 11 o'clock Tuesday night local time. The Director of Homeland Security, Samana Ve'avea, says his staff in the Manua Islands are ready to help residents if the situation worsens. The active Vailulu'u seamount rises almost 5,000 metres from the seafloor east of Tau, and there have been reports of smoggy water being emitted from its peak recently. Meanwhile, volcanic activity has been recorded from a remote-controlled unmanned vessel near the Hungatonga-Hungahapai volcano in Tonga. The Max Limer has been assisting New Zealand, American, Japanese and Tongan scientists to map the seabed of the area following the Hungatonga-Hungahapai eruption in January. On this survey mission, clear signs of continuing volcanic activity were seen inside the crater. The findings suggest the volcano could still be erupting, but at a low intensity. Three MPs in Tonga have been unseated after Tonga's Supreme Court dismissed their appeals to bribery convictions. The MPs who have been unseated are Tatafu Moeaki, Poasite and Sangster Saulala. All three have been found guilty of bribing voters in Tonga's 2021 general elections. Tonga's House Speaker, Lord Fatefehi Whakawhanua, announced their departure in Parliament yesterday after receiving the Supreme Court's final judgment. The judgment ordered the immediate termination of the three MPs' tenures. The Ombudsman Office in the Cook Islands is proposing to establish a human rights institute. A two-day session at the Crown Beach Resort is underway to gather public feedback on the proposal for the institute. RNZ Pacific's Susana Suisui-Ki reports.
Ombudsman Nikki Rattle told Cook Islands News the formation of a human rights institute has been in the minds of the government for a long time, and the time has come to put thoughts into action. She says an institute would allow easier access to the complaints authority. Deputy Ombudsman for Samoa, Mawalai Vau Pepe Seyuli, is visiting the Cook Islands this week to offer his advice on the Human Rights Institute establishment.
The former US President Donald Trump has declined to answer questions while appearing under oath at the New York Attorney General's office. The investigation, led by Attorney General Letitia James, involves allegations of a decade-long pattern of financial misstatements by the Trump Organization. The BBC's Rachel Wright reports.
Just days after the FBI searched his Florida home, Donald Trump turned up at the office of the New York Attorney General to face questions in a totally separate investigation. Letitia James has been looking into whether the Trump Organization misled lenders and tax authorities about the value of property it owns. Earlier this month, Mr. Trump's children, Ivanka and Donald Jr., were forced to give depositions in the civil case, but the former president has refused, citing his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself. He's described the investigation as a witch hunt.
Tonga police are reporting a decrease in crime compared with previous years. COVID lockdowns and border closures have impacted social activities, and they've been widely attributed for the reason for the lull. Tonga Police Commissioner Shane McLennan says police are not being complacent as the kingdom begins reopening its borders and the community becomes more active.
Part of our major challenges at the moment is because communities have been locked down. Now borders are opened and will reopen gradually. We've obviously got a lot more activity within the community. So the challenge for us is to also be out there making sure that our roads are safe, our homes are safe, and our communities are safe.
Australians are being urged to delete a government COVID tracing app that's been branded an expensive failure after it helped identify just two infections. The Health Minister described COVIDSafe as a colossal waste of taxpayers' money. It's estimated to have cost the equivalent of $14 million. Thailand's foreign ministry says it's received a request from the ousted Sri Lankan president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, to enter the country. The ministry was responding to reports that Mr. Rajapaksa, who fled to Singapore last month because of mass protests, was seeking shelter in Thailand. The BBC's Lipika Palam reports.
The foreign ministry's statement says Mr. Rajapaksa can enter Thailand on a temporary 90-day visa with the aim of onward travel. It clarifies the former president has not asked for political asylum. Sri Lankans have reacted angrily to the news that the deposed president has found shelter in another Southeast Asian country after his visa for Singapore expires this week. Mr. Rajapaksa has not made any public appearance since fleeing the country last month. Sri Lanka's demonstrators accuse him of mishandling the economy, leading to the country's worst financial crisis.
Britain is launching a polio vaccine booster campaign for children in London aged below 10. After confirming that the virus is spreading in the capital for the first time since the 1980s, the UK Health Security Agency has identified 116 polioviruses from 19 sewage samples this year in London. It first raised the alert on finding the virus in sewage samples in June. The agency says the levels of poliovirus found since indicated that transmission was taking place in a number of London boroughs. No cases have yet been identified, but the booster campaign has been launched in a bid to get ahead of a potential outbreak. Foreign ministers from the G7 group of industrial powers have demanded that Russia immediately hand back control of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant to Ukraine. They accuse Moscow's forces of significantly increasing the risk of an accident at the site and putting the entire region in danger. The BBC's Danny Aberhard reports.
The G7 ministers said they were profoundly concerned over the serious threat to safety at the Zaporizhia nuclear plant, Europe's largest. The warning echoed statements from the United Nations nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency. The G7 called on Russia to hand back control of the plant to Ukraine immediately. The chances of that appear, at best, extremely remote. Russia has been bombarding Ukrainian towns on the other side of the River Dnieper.
Elon Musk has sold nearly $7 billion worth of shares in his company, Tesla. It comes as a lawsuit over his refusal to buy the social media giant Twitter looms. Our correspondent Gabrielle Fahmy reports.
Responding to a Tesla investor on Twitter, Elon Musk said he needed the money in case he was forced to buy Twitter. He walked out of his deal to buy the social network last month, citing concerns over the number of fake accounts on the platform. Though analysts believe Musk may have had buyer's remorse, with Twitter's stock price dropping since his takeover bid in the spring. Twitter has since sued Musk to get him to honor his $44 billion agreement. That trial is slated to go ahead in October. Asked on Twitter if he would repurchase the Tesla shares if the Twitter buyout doesn't happen, Musk responded yes.
There won't be any televised local news on the public broadcaster in Wallace and Futuna this week because of COVID-19. Too many staff have been affected by the resurgence of the pandemic, which since June has caused almost 1,800 infections. The station will instead continue to carry French news. In Wallace, the outbreak peaked last week and health authorities expect it to climax in Futuna at the end of the month. Six people with COVID-19 are in hospital. Most people decided against getting vaccinated. To sport, the Black Caps coach Gary Stead says the T20 series in the West Indies will give the selectors one last chance to finalise their World Cup squad. The first game of the three-match series is in Kingston this morning and starts at 6:30. Stead says the squad for the World Cup in Australia in October will be named after the team's Caribbean tour.
For us, it's about finalising the 15 that will go there, getting clear on some of the, I guess, combinations that we want to see, and hopefully just getting guys back into T20 mode who haven't played for a while.
Meanwhile, New Zealand cricket isn't expecting other established players to join Trent Bolt in asking for a release from their Black Caps contract. The Irish Rugby Football Union will ban transgender women from female contact rugby competitions after carrying out a review of its transgender policy. The IRFU says the decision was based on medical and scientific evidence and is in line with World Rugby guidance. That's the news and a little sport from RNZ Pacific. You can listen to and read more of our stories online at rnzi.com.